You guys, we are excited about day 22 living. It takes 21 days, they say, to form a habit. Now, again, there's different thoughts on that, but they say it takes 21 days to form a habit. Well, for 21 days, we've been praying. And now what we want to do is say, well, what does it look like now on day 22? If we have a new habit, what does it look like on day 22 to actually live forward? And as Pastor Dino said, 21 days of prayer is not the fire. It's the spark or the start of the fire. I wanted to start out with a quote by A.T. Pearson. It says this: there has never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in unified prayer. And I'm so excited, you guys, because Element Church has always been a praying church. It's always been a church of prayer. But I believe in this next season and coming out of this COVID season, that Element Church really has we've doubled down again on that idea of just being a praying church. And that's been one of my prayers personally a lot lately, is just, God, let Element Church be a praying church. Let Element people be a praying people. And so there's never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in unified prayer. And that's what we want to see. We want to continue to see, what does it look like to live into day 22 and beyond? We want to be a people of unified prayer. And then Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom, that's God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the context of the scripture there is that they're talking about all the things that we're concerned with as people, food, clothing, housing, all of just kind of the day in, day out details of our life. But the Bible says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things follow after. And so there's this priority thing. So how do we consistently, as a pattern, pray and seek the kingdom of God together so that we can experience God's presence and we can experience a spiritual awakening in our country, in our locality? How do we do this? How do we consistently pattern prayer? Now, I was praying on this and thinking about this and talking to all of us today, and I remembered back something that a mentor of mine named, his name is John Maxwell, shares. And he says this, he says, just kind of by way of analogy, he says, if there's a tree in your backyard that you want to cut down, he says, you can either take an axe and go out and for 5 hours, you can cut away at the tree and the tree will fall down, but you'll be exhausted and you'll sweat. And then the next time you need to cut a tree, you won't want to do it again. He said, or what you could do is you could wake up and every morning when you leave your house, you could pick up the axe, take 5 swings at the tree, put the axe back down and go on with your day. And he said, the consistency of those 5 swings eventually drops that same tree that would have taken you 5 hours and sweat, and then you don't ever want to do it again. But the 5 swings per day, that consistency, that you wake up and the next morning and you hit it again, and you wake up in the next morning and you hit it again. He said, if there's a tree in your backyard that you want to cut down, every morning, wake up, take an axe, hit it 5 times. It won't take all day, but it will take every day. The next morning, hit it again, and eventually the tree will fall. And I started thinking about that idea is what 5 swipes of the axe, or what 5 things, this rule of 5, could we do on day 22 and beyond to keep us in unified prayer, to keep us in God's presence? These will be very basic, but they're simple, but they're not easy. They're simple, but they're not easy. And these 5 things actually form the foundation, I believe, really, of a Christian life. And so I want to touch these again today. I want to hit these 5 things again today. So if you're taking notes, go ahead and get your wrist ready. If you've got your Bible, can I encourage you? Have a Bible. When we do this time together, have a Bible and flip through your own Bible. Or if you have to, use a phone app. I get that. We're a technology age and all those kind of things. But whatever it is, have a Bible and look this stuff up and follow through. Because, you know, the thing is when I say a scripture, we're going to try to put on the screen for you. But here's the thing. I want you to learn where it is in your Bible. I want you to be flipping those pages to your Bible. I want you to learn how to use your thumbs to navigate your Bible app to figure out where that book and where that verse is. So this is really important, because this isn't just about, oh, that's the spot where Pastor Scott was talking about. It's you learning how to navigate your own Bible. And so that's really, really important. So today, as we jump in, take notes. Read through your Bible. All right, so 5 things, rule of 5, day 22 living and beyond, 5 things. First one, here we go, is worship. We want to worship. We want to be, so who do we want to be as a people? Who do we want to be as a church? What can you do every single morning? What's one of the swipes every single morning for you personally, and then again, of us corporately, is worship, this idea of worship. Now, we want to be a worshiping people, and that's acknowledging and thanking God, acknowledging and thanking God. I wrote this quote down that I heard years ago, is that the first breath of prayer is praise. The first breath of prayer is praise. So when we start, we just want to be thankful. We want to have gratitude. We want to wake up every day and we want to intentionally, as a swipe of that axe, we want to intentionally have gratitude and thankfulness. And you know what? Why wouldn't we be thankful? You say, well, Pastor Scott, there's all sorts of things in my life that I'm not really thankful about. That's fine. And we all have that. But there's a whole lot of things in your life that you can be thankful about. You say, well, I don't know what that would be. Well, let me start with, how about the breath in your lungs? How about the fact that you opened your eyes up again for a fresh morning and that the God of the universe gave you strength to open your eyes and get out of your bed again? How about the fact that if you can walk, that you can walk? And if you can't walk, you can roll. And if you can't roll, then you can crutch or whatever it might be, but that you can move and you can live and you can have being again for another day. How about the thankfulness of just the fact that you're saved, that Jesus actually came and found you when you didn't deserve to be found, and that he took you out of the miry pit and he set your feet on a solid rock. And you know, we're so quick to forget those kind of moments that for all of eternity, I get to be in relationship with a good, good God and a good Father. I'm thankful for that. If everything else is going terrible, everything else is going terrible, it's like, I get to be with God again today. That's something to be thankful for. And I've shared this before, but I try to wake up in the morning and before I let my feet touch the ground, I try to find something to be thankful for. Something to be thankful for. And sometimes, a lot of times, the Holy Spirit will just bring something to my remembrance. And sometimes it's ridiculously simple. Sometimes it's something very complex, but it sets the tone of my day that I'm going to begin with worship. I'm going to begin with acknowledging God and being thankful and having gratitude. And you know, gratitude is a choice. Being thankful is a choice. It's an act of my will. And I can set that as an act of my will before I even get out of bed in the morning. I've shared this story before, but I love it. There was a story of an African king, and he had a friend, and his friend would always respond to everything the king said with, "This is good." No matter what would happen, he would just say, trying to find the thankfulness, the gratitude part of it, he would say, "This is good, this is good, this is good." And so the king one day went out hunting with his friend, and his friend loaded up the king's gun. And as he handed the gun back to the king, the gun improperly went off and actually blew the king's thumb right off of his hand. It was very dramatic and very crazy kind of situation. And the king's thumb was gone. They were able to spare the king's life, but he lost his thumb. And as the servant had handed the gun, and after all of the rigmarole, you know, was over immediately, the king was on the way to the hospital, presumably, and his thumb is kind of capped with something like a shirt or something that's kind of tied it off. And he leans over to his friend, and his friend says, "It's good." And the king says, "How can you possibly say that?" And he's so angry, the king's so angry that he throws his friend in jail. Which kind of makes sense if you know the friend loads the gun, hands it to the king, blows his thumb off, and says, "Oh, it's good." It's like the king's like, "You're in jail now. That's it." A year later, the king is actually hunting alone out in the jungles, and he's captured by cannibals. And the cannibals actually tie the king up. They take him back to their camp. They put him over a fire, and they're about ready to start to roast him and eat him. And they notice that he's missing his thumb. And in their superstitious kind of tribe, they would refuse to eat anyone who is missing one of their thumbs. And so they let the king go. And so the king knows it's because his friend actually blew his thumb off inadvertently with the firearm because this friend misloaded his gun. And so he actually goes to his friend in jail and he tells the whole story and he actually apologizes to his friend. The king says, "I'm so sorry. You were right. It's good." And the friend, knowing that he'd been in jail for a year, said, "It's okay. It's good that you put me in jail. It's good." And the king says, "How can you always say that? How can you say that? You've been in jail for a year." And the friend says, "Well, if I wasn't in jail, I would have been with you hunting in the jungle. And when we were captured, I would have been eaten. So it is good." And the whole idea, of course, it's a ridiculous story, but the whole idea is that this friend was like, "It's good. It's good. It's good." And the Bible tells us that God is able to take any situation and use it for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean everything that happens to us is good, but it means that we can find gratitude in all things. Just finding something to be thankful for, the air in our lungs themselves, food. God, just isn't it amazing that God made us able to taste food? He didn't have to do that. I mean, we could have been, our bodies could have been restored by like eating blocks of tasteless like stuff, like hay, like it could have been a guinea pig or something. But I'm not. I eat delicious food, you know, I can taste it. It's a celebration. How about the people in my life? How about salvation? How about sunshine? Just whatever it might be, just being thankful. And I wrote this in my notes this way, and I actually really liked it. I hope you like it too, is that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of my circumstance. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of circumstance. So here's the thing. Joy comes up in me and gratitude comes up in me out of the Spirit of God, not out of the circumstance around me. So what that means is that I can always find joy and gratitude because I don't source it from outside of me. I source it from the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me. Psalm 145, 1 through 3 says, I will extol you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And I got to tell you, I've just been practicing lately this idea of just blessing God, just blessing the Lord, just blessing like in a time of prayer, just saying, God, would you help me even just find gratitude? And I just start trying to thank him, trying to find things to thank you for. God, I thank you for creating the universe. I thank you that you're the God over all things. You're the God who created all things, including me. God, you made my body, and God, you gave me the breath in my lungs today and made the lungs that are breathing the air in and out of my body. God, thank you for my heart beating today. God, thank you, God, for your goodness that chases me down and takes me over and overwhelms me. God, thank you for your faithfulness. God, thank you for saving me and pulling me out of the pit. God, thank you for coming, finding me when I didn't deserve to be found. Oh God, you're good. Oh God, you're faithful. Oh God, your name is above all things. God, I thank you for your truth. God, I thank you for your truth that stabilizes me and gives me some place to set my feet. And I could go on and on. Just God, thank you, thank you, thank you. The first breath of prayer is praise. And here's the deal. I heard Pastor Chris Hodges said one time, he said, when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, he said, here's how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name, blessing his name. Our Father in heaven, it's personal and it's God and creator of everything. Holy is your name, blessing his name. And I heard Pastor Chris Hodges say, if you spent 90% of your prayer time right there, you would be doing fine. So here's the thing. The first breath of prayer is praise. And the first thing that we want to do out of five ways of hitting the tree, of chopping down day 22 living, being faithful into God's presence, how do we do this? Number one is worship. It's worship. It's gratitude. It's being thankful. And how are you remembering? How are you scheduling? How are you patterning your life in order to have gratitude and joy on a daily basis? I remember right before I go to number two here, I remember years ago, I heard a story, Denzel Washington, amazing actor, which by the way, as I've researched his life a bit, did you know his dad was a Pentecostal pastor? Really super cool. His mom was a beautician, so that's a good combination. They were very good looking in the physical and in the spiritual. I've never actually seen a picture of them. That's just the way my brain works. I just kind of having fun. But Denzel Washington said that what he would do before he went to bed at night is he would slide his slippers up under his bed, like further than he could reach them with his feet, so that in the morning when he woke up, he would have to get down on his hands and knees to get his slippers out from under the bed. And that would remind him to get on his knees, to be thankful and start his day with prayer. And so I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's sliding your slippers under your bed. Maybe it's setting an alarm on your phone. Maybe it's getting up early to pray, to worship, whatever it might be. Maybe it's putting a scripture around your house on your mirror. Maybe it's laminating an identity statement full of scripture that you put in your shower so that while you shave your face, hopefully you're a guy if you're doing that, but you have it in your shower. Sorry, that was probably not politically correct and appropriate. I am so sorry. Okay, but worship. worship. My wife is I think shaking her head in the back. I'm so sorry. Okay. Hey, when you talk as much as I do, sometimes you do say things that you would like to have back. That's probably one of them right there. Okay, hopefully you're laughing with me. If you're not, you can send me an email and I will apologize. Okay, so number two, what five things can we do to do day 22 living and beyond? But number two, it's still happening around here. People are fanning themselves trying to cool down. Okay, number two, number one, worship. Let's pull it together, crew. Pull it together. Number one, worship. Number two, prayer. So what are the five things? What do we hit every day so that we can stay in God's presence? Number two, prayer. We talk to God as a friend in a nonstop relationship. Now, this was a note from one of the days of the 21 days of prayer. Pastor Dino Rizzo, he said this. He said, prayer is a lifestyle thing. He said, it's a realization of an ongoing relationship. 21 days of prayer isn't the fire. It starts the fire. And he was talking about this idea that when we pray, we actually have an ongoing relationship with God. And he actually used an analogy of friendship, which of course makes sense because in John 15, I believe it's John 15, it's right in that passage somewhere. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. And we have a friendship. And Pastor Dino said this, he said, my friends, he said, yes, there are events and yes, there are moments and yes, there are schedules in our friendships. He said, but my best friends are all the time. They're nonstop relationships. It's picking up the phone and texting or calling quick or seeing each other. You know, if you go to school and you see friends at school, just kind of, hey, what's up? You know, it's an ongoing thing. And so, yes, friendships do have events, moments, and schedules, but they're ongoing. And our friendship with God, yes, prayer has events and moments and schedules. And thank God for specific times and specific places and specific plans of prayer. And we need all of that. And I've taught on all of that. But there's an ongoing relationship that we have with God. And that's what prayer is all about. I remember reading a book called Practicing the Presence of God, or it was by a brother Lawrence, and he was actually a cook in the monastery, and he said that he felt as close to God peeling potatoes as he did kneeling at the altar. And just the idea that we don't have to wait till we kneel at the altar to pray. We can be going throughout our normal daily routine and be talking to God. And so Brother Lawrence talked about peeling potatoes and having an ongoing conversation with God while he was peeling potatoes in the kitchen. I love that. And so we do need, as Pastor Dino said, events, moments, and schedules in our prayer life. I'm thankful for prayer, events, moments, and schedules. I'm thankful for 21 days. I'm thankful that Jesus had this pattern of praying in the morning. Jesus had a pattern of going to a specific place, a solitary place to pray. I love prayer closets. I love all of that stuff. Again, I've taught on all of that. But I love the idea that we can pray and talk to God all the time because it's an ongoing friendship. So I want to challenge us with that as a people. I want to challenge us with that as Element Church people. How can we continue to transition from thinking about prayer as something we do in a specific time, in a specific place, although those are wonderful things, to having an ongoing dialogue with God, our Father? And I want to challenge us with that. And the second thing that we do every single day is prayer. Psalm 68:19 says, praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Who daily bears our burdens. The one that's with us all the time. The one that walks with us all the time. The one that gave us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that we have on the inside of us all the time. And the idea actually in the Greek New Testament is the word for Holy Spirit is actually paraclete, which is actually the idea of if I'm in the woods and there's a big log that I need to carry, I pick up one side of the log, that a friend comes along and picks up the other side of the log and carries it with me. That Greek word is actually, that exact word paraclete is used in that scenario in Greek writing outside of the biblical context. So that's the idea of the Holy Spirit, the God who comes along and picks up the other side of whatever we're carrying and bears our burden with us daily. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. That's number two, prayer. Number three is the Bible. So number one, worship. Number two, prayer. Number three, the Bible. I don't know if you're picking this up. These are the basics. These are the swing the axe five times in the morning and do it every single day. Number three, the Bible. Read and submit to God's word. Now, this is interesting because with the Bible, right, we believe as Element Christians, we believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, that God penned the Bible through the hands of human beings, but he did it through the inspiration of his spirit working through people, and that the Bible is actually God breathed and God inspired, and check this out, is authoritative for our lives. So here's the thing is, I have a question for you. Did God make you? And if God made you, then he knows what's best for you. And that means that whatever you feel or whatever you think is not always the best thing for you. The one who made you knows the best thing for you. And so we believe the Bible is God's inspired, authoritative, supernatural letter to us about what's best for us because he made us and he knows us. And we've been talking about the Bible. It's this, the history of God and mankind and their interaction together. But we believe that God speaks to us through the Bible and that the Bible is authoritative for our lives, that it actually informs how we should live. So when we read the Bible, we don't just read it as a history. We don't just read it as something that's good advice, although it is historical and it is good advice, but we read it as God's authoritative message to us about how life works best. I love John Eldredge says that the universe has a way it works, and that when you run against the grain of the universe, you get splinters. And just the idea that the Bible tells us how to roll with the grain of the universe, the way God made it, the way God created it. How do we do that here at Element Church? Well, how we do it together, you guys, is we do something called SOAP. It's an acronym, S-O-A-P. It's not just about getting clean with a bar of soap. It's about scripture, S, observation, O, application, A, and prayer, P. It's a simple way to read your Bible. You read the scripture, you observe what it says, you apply that observation to your life, and then you pray to God about it. It's a super simple way of reading your Bible. And what we do at Element Church is we read one chapter of the Bible per day. As a church, we're reading the same chapter of the Bible per day. And what that allows us to do is to talk to each other every day about what we're reading and what God is speaking to us. So it really is this thing that can live in the life of our church and give us common ability to be sharing what's happening spiritually in our lives because we're all reading the same scripture together. So if we get together today at the baptism, today from 4 to 6 p.m. at Lake Lansing Park, and we all show up and we all read the same chapter of the book of Matthew today, then I can talk with any of you and I can say, man, what was God speaking to you today out of Matthew? And then you can share back what you read and what God was speaking to you, and I can do the same, and we both read the same scripture today. Isn't that cool? We can read the Bible together, and we can keep each other accountable to reading the Bible together, and we can keep each other accountable to the authoritative nature of that scripture in our own life. Something super simple, reading one chapter a day, the same chapter each day, and then we can do it together. But the spiritual power of that is absolutely incredible. And here's what's really cool. We've been challenging people to be doing this now for quite a while. Actually, the second series we ever did in Element Church, the first fall that we launched, was actually SOAP. And I taught on SOAP the very first fall that we launched this church, and we're still talking about it now, but we've been challenging people to do it. And we were on a call one of the mornings for 21 days of prayer, and one of the people that was on, she was talking, and we were just kind of all catching up after the prayer was over or whatever, and she said, I read ahead in the reading plan because I was excited to see what happens. You know, it's like a story. And she was like, and in Matthew, and I forget whatever chapter it was, I think Matthew 13, again, this was several days ago. And she's quoting from like three or four chapters ahead from the reading, but it was so cool because it was like just an excitement to read God's word and an excitement to read together. And here's the thing, we were all in the same section of the scripture together. I was so encouraged by that. And I just want to ask you as your pastor, if I need to beg, I will beg. I'd get down on my hands and knees if we were together in person, which we will be, by the way, September 19th at the Kellogg, woohoo. But here's the thing, right now, if I got down on my hands and knees, you wouldn't be able to see me and you wouldn't be able to hear me. So I won't, but I am in my heart getting down on my hands and knees and begging you, would you please SOAP together as a church? Because I'm praying that Element would be a praying church and a worshiping church, but I pray that Element would be a Word of God church, a church that loves the Word of God, a church that lives in the Word of God, a church that looks at God's Word and says it's inspired and it's God's message to me and it's authoritative to my life, and I surrender and submit to it, and it informs my life and tells me how to live. Joshua 1:8 says this. It says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth." Now, of course, we do talk about Scripture. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, don't let it go out of your mouth like words that are spoken out that you don't get back. He says, don't let it just depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, what's the then there for? Well, don't let the book of the law depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Like, live in it. Let it stew around in you. Keep it on the inside of you so that you can be careful to do what's written in the Bible. Then you will be prosperous and successful. That's a cool promise, Joshua 1:8. And by the way, that was given to Joshua as they're going into the promised land and they're going to establish a nation. Don't let the book of the, basically read the Bible, do what it says, and then you'll be prosperous and successful. That's about as basic as you can get it. Psalm 1:1-3 says, "Blessed is the man or woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight," like, I love the word delight. His delight is the law of the Lord, the Bible. And on his law, he meditates day and night. And then check this out. This is the then from before, Joshua. Then, it doesn't actually say then, but you get it. Then, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So how does all this work? How does all this prospering and success come? How does it, the tree planted by a river where the roots go down and actually have access into water so that they can give fruit, yield fruit in due season and look healthy and not wither and prosper? How does all that work? Read the Bible. That's how it works. And we are reading the Bible together through SOAP. If you've never done this before, download the phone app. You can go to your app store, whatever your phone is, and you can download the Element Church app. Just put in Element Church and then look for our logo. There's a couple Element Churches in the country. You won't find our reading plan on the other Element Churches. So you have to download ours and go find our logo, download the app, and you'll see several places on the app where you can find the reading plan. Read the Bible together. You guys, this is what we do as a church, and the power of us doing that together is absolutely incredible. So that's the first three things: worship, prayer, Bible reading. Number four is community. So what do we do every day? How do we swing this axe every day? How do we do day 22 living and beyond? Number four is community. It's maintaining spiritually rooted relationships. Now listen, I actually had a conversation with my son last night, and we talked about how God loves people. God loves all people. So, you know, we're going to love everybody, and we love being around people because we love people because God loves people. So it's not that every single person that we're around, you know, has to be a Christian or has to, you know, align their life to the authority of Scripture. God loves people. Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors. We love people. We want to be around people, okay? But here's the deal. We're around everybody, but our closest relationships are with people that are following hard after Jesus the way that we desire to and we endeavor to. And the Bible says that Jesus' followers together are his church. And then when we come together in community, we act as a body that God's Spirit is indwelling. And I love where Paul talks about in the New Testament about the body of the church. Now, this is fascinating because Paul actually talks about this. He talks about eyes and ears and mouths and noses, and he talks about how each one is crafted and created differently with different gifts or different abilities, but they all work together for the functioning of the body. Now, I'm going to pause there for a second, and I'm going to look into this little camera, and I'm looking into your soul, hopefully, and I want to ask you a question. Is what you have the ability to do needed in your church? And the answer is 100% yes, because the nose is needed and the eyes are needed and the mouth is needed and the ears are needed. And if you say, oh, well, and here's a couple of things that get said, right? One thing is you might say, well, but what I do isn't really that important. I mean, if I could sing like an Abby Dewey, you know, then, you know, then I would be, you know, useful. And because then I do worship and stuff. Well, I don't sing like Abby Dewey. And you're like, well, yeah, sure, Pastor Scott, but you can teach and you can speak. And I don't sing like an Abby Dewey and I don't talk like a Pastor Scott. Great. But what do you do? Because you do something that I can't do and you do something that Abby can't do. And you go, well, I just don't really think that that's true. Well, can I tell you something? It 100% is true. And if you don't think it's true, then something's broken. And here's the deal. It might be something in you that's broken. It might be something I'll humble myself. It might be something that I'm not doing very well as a leader to communicate to you that's broken. But I'll tell you what's not broken is Jesus's call on your life to use what you've been given for the betterment of his body. That's not broken. And here's the thing. God gave you gifts and talents, every single one of you. And here's what's beautiful is if you think about the body, you think about hands and feet, okay, because Paul uses that analogy too. Think about this for a second. If you have keys in your pocket right now, do this for me. And you can do this if you really want. You don't have to because you'll get the analogy without doing it. Try to take your feet and get your keys out of your pocket. Go ahead. Have fun with that. It's almost impossible. Some of you, if you're really, really limber, you might be able to do it. I guarantee you I would not be able to do it because I'm like one of the most flexible people I've ever met. I can't even sit Indian style, which my wife says is really weird, but it's true. but you can't really get your keys out of your pocket with your feet, but your feet right now are real useful when you get up to try to go somewhere and your hands wouldn't be very useful for that. And here's the thing, every part of the body has a function and it's all needed. And you have a place and you have a function in Jesus's body called the church. That's not broken. Now, some people will say, and it sounds very humble, doesn't it? I'm not that gifted. I just really don't have that much to offer. Can I tell you something? God gave you gifts and talents. And so actually, even though it sounds humble to say, well, I really don't have much to offer, or I don't sing like an Abby Dewey or whatever you might say, or whatever the weird messages we tell ourselves in our head, whatever you tell yourself, it might sound humble, but it's really not humble because God's the one that gave you the gift. God's the one that put it in you. If you're a nose, smell. If you're a mouth, talk. If your eyes, see. If you're an eyebrow, keep the sweat out of the eyes. If you're an ear, hear. If you're a hand, get the keys out of the pocket. If you're a foot, carry the body forward. Whatever it is, God gave it to you and it is needed. And we need each other. I need you and you need me. And we all bring our part together, as Paul says, and we all serve together and the Spirit of God indwells us and we are his body moving forward. So if you are part of this church and you think that what you have is not needed in this church, can I just tell you, you're wrong. There's something broken. And I don't know exactly what all the pieces are that might be broken, but we've got to confront this stuff and we've got to start engaging the things that God has given each one of us. Because what's not broken is that Jesus gifted you to do something and what you have to do is needed. I hope you guys are vibing with me on that. Hebrews 3:13 says this, it says, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And Hebrews 10:25 says, let's see how inventive, this is the Message paraphrase, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worship together as some do, but spurring each other on. Now I'm going to read that again. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. So here's the deal. Hey, Element Church, every single one of us, let's see how inventive and creative we can be in loving and encouraging each other and in helping each other out. Let's help each other out. We need you to help out. Say, who's we? All of us. I need you to bring what you have. But guess what? The person, if you're in a living room watching this, the person next to you needs what you have and you need what they have and you need what I have and I need what you have and we all need each other. And so here's the deal. As we go back into the fall, we are gonna need each other's gifts and talents in ways we never have before because I believe God wants to do things through us that he's never yet done before. And so here's the deal. If you wanna serve this fall with Element Church and you're not currently serving, but you want to, text the keyword purpose to 97,000, purpose to 97,000, because you have a purpose. So text that to 97,000. You'll get a link. Click it, and you can. It's just a. It's an informational form that just says I'm interested in serving. It's not an application. It's not committing you to anything yet. It's basically to let us know, hey, I have an interest in serving, and then we can follow up with you and we can work on that together. But I will tell you what you have is needed. I also want to remind you, and we've said this multiple times here today, but we have a baptism tonight from 4 to 6 p.m. at Lake Lansing Park South, right in front of the old carousel building there. And we need each other. We need your encouragement. We need your love. We want to see you. We want to eat ice cream bars with you. Because when you show up, it's better. The body's more complete. You say, yeah, but I'm not an eye or a nose or a mouth. I'm an eyebrow. Okay, fine. Well, guess what? The eyes need the eyebrow. Whatever part you pick, we need you. You're needed. So show up. We want to see you. We want to be together. So number four, community, the five things. And I'm going to start to draw us to a close with this is on what five things do we do? We worship, we pray, we read the Bible, we're together in community. And then number five is that we serve, and we serve together. We take our lives and we purpose them to be used for the glory and the kingdom of God. And we serve God and those around us one life at a time. You know, the people showed up to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest commandment? They asked him for one. Do you know Jesus actually did not acquiesce to that? Jesus gave them two. They said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second one is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I've been reading a book by Pete Scazzaro, and he said this, we can measure our maturity, our spiritual maturity with Christ, that first commandment, in the way that we treat each other, the second commandment. And he said, sometimes, you know, we will lift certain like spiritual leaders up on a pedestal and we think, oh, they're really spiritual. They really love God. But then the way they treat other people is very condescending, or they're very removed, or they're very quick and sharp with people. And he said, that doesn't really go together. If we're going to understand spiritual maturity, we have to understand it in both of the commands, that we love God and that we serve and love those around us. So what's the greatest commandment? Love God and love the person around you. It's the way we treat each other and serve each other and demonstrating our spiritual maturity amongst one another by the way we treat and love each other. Now, I want to, this book that I've been reading, Pete Scazzaro says this. He says, as the church, and I believe this is really important, when we talk about loving and serving people and each other. He says, as a church, we need to learn this as a point of spiritual maturity. We need to learn to follow the crucified Jesus, not the Americanized Jesus. We need to follow the crucified Jesus, not the Americanized Jesus. Now, you say, how does that play into serving people around me? Here's how it plays out. Because when we serve the crucified Jesus, what we do is we actually lay our lives down in order to serve other people. Jesus demonstrated this over and over and over again. The night before he was betrayed, he actually had a meal with his disciples, got up at the end of the meal. The Bible says in the book of John that Jesus, knowing he was the most powerful person on the planet, it says he knew that all authority had been given to him in heaven and on earth. He knew who he was, and he knew he was the most powerful entity in the universe. It says, with that mindset, he got up from the table, girded himself with a towel, took a basin of water, and got down on his feet and washed the feet of his disciples. That's what you do with power. And when we follow the crucified Jesus, we follow that pattern and example. And Jesus said to his disciples, hey, I am your master. I am greater than you. But now, even in that position, I'm serving you and washing your feet. Now that you've seen this model and pattern from me, now go do this for one another. In another spot, Jesus tells them, they're debating about who will be the greatest. And Jesus doesn't rebuke them for wanting to be great, but he does say, let me tell you how to be great. He said, the world's leaders lord it over them. But he said, in the kingdom, it shall not be so. Among you, serving each other is the greatest power. And so, and then all the way to the cross, right? Jesus gives his life in service for us to meet our spiritual need and dies on the cross to meet our need. Jesus, the crucified Jesus, if we follow the crucified Jesus, that's what our life looks like. If we follow the Americanized Jesus, then we get wrapped up in all of these other endeavors. And we start to think that serving and power and control starts to look like a whole lot of other things. And here's what's fascinating about the Americanized Jesus is you can make him whatever you want to make him. The Americanized Jesus can be a red Jesus. Are you with me? An elephant Jesus, a Republican Jesus. The Americanized Jesus can be a blue Jesus. It can be a Democratic Jesus. It could be a donkey Jesus. He did ride a donkey, but I think that's a different thing. But the Americanized Jesus can be a white Jesus or a black Jesus or a Latino Jesus or a brown Jesus or whatever. He can be a producing Jesus. He can be a Jesus that is all about merit and producing and getting things done. And, you know, well, Jesus gave talents and then he expected fruit and results. Or it can be the Jesus that's just the milk and cookies Jesus, the toast, the mild manner Jesus who, you know, he's a good, loving, moral teacher. And, you know, well, Jesus flipped tables in the temple too. And we can take the Americanized version or our version of Jesus and make him all sorts of things. I remember reading a quote years ago that said, God made man in his image, and then God returned the favor and made God in his own image. That God made us like him, and then we turned around and made a God in our image. And what we need to do if we're actually going to serve our brothers and sisters well, our neighbors well, is that we need to serve the crucified Jesus, not the Jesus made in our image. I don't want to serve a red Jesus or a blue Jesus or a white Jesus or a black Jesus. I want to serve a crucified Jesus that went and laid his life down for those around him. And that's what we need to do every day, you guys, is serve. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I die every day. I lay my life down every day. Luke 9:23, Jesus said, then Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If we're going to continue to experience God's presence, and if we're going to see a spiritual awakening, and we're going to do these five things, we've got to serve each other well. I want to give some final thoughts on this, and I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to close. Number five here about serving each other, there's a sacrifice and a pouring out and a stewardship to that. Can I also tell you that just sacrificing and pouring out so you have nothing left is not in the Bible either. It's not God either. There's something called the theology of limits. It's something I'm learning about. And the premise is this, is that you're not God and I'm not God. God is God. And that we can't fix all of the problems of the world. All we can do is operate within the limits that God has given us. And he's given everyone limits of time and energy and resource. And he's given you limits and he's given me limits. And so the idea is that we are to prioritize and focus our lives and then listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit to tell us what we should do, and then we do it, and then we trust him for the rest. So even as we talk about regathering here, guys, and coming back together and serving one another, I want to challenge us. We follow the crucified Jesus, not the Americanized Jesus. We serve and we give and we die daily, and we do pour our lives out for one another, but we do it within the limits of being a human being. And we do it within the limits of how the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. And we prioritize and we focus and we figure out what's the most important. And can I tell you, I think that we do a really poor job of that so often. As Americans, we're very busy. The Americanized Jesus is go, 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 go. But the crucified Jesus is figuring out what's most important and then doing with the limited ability, capacity, and strength you have, doing what's most important. And I think even for some of us listening today, that's a challenge for you to figure out, what do I really need to focus and prioritize on? And I'll challenge us with this, our stewardship. How do we steward our lives? How do we steward our energy? How do we steward the finances that are in our hands? What do we do with our checkbook, our giving? What do we do with our date book? How are we spending our time? What do we do with our cycle of going and resting? How do we Sabbath? We've talked about Sabbath a lot over the last year and a half, you guys. Sabbath, taking one 24-hour period each week and stopping and surrendering to God and trusting that if you don't work 7 days in a row all out, that the universe is not going to fall apart, but that we work for six and then we rest and we delight in seven and then we trust God for the result. And it brings us into a place where we're surrendered and we live a surrendered and a spirit-empowered life. And so you guys, what are the five things? How do we live day 22 and beyond? What are the five things? We worship, we pray, we read the Bible together. We are committed to community and we serve one another. And so I want to pray those five things over us as we close. And I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit of those five things, what is the one that he wants you to focus on today? And in a moment, we're going to go into worship and I'm going to ask you to kind of lean into that conversation with him. But let me pray over us this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this series, God, and this season about being in your presence. We thank you, God, for these five things that are going to lead us forward into day 22 and beyond. God, we thank you, God, for the power of worship and just choosing gratitude and that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of our circumstance. So I pray fresh joy over us today. I pray that we would continue to learn how to pattern our lives in such a way that we're full of gratitude. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, not a fruit of our circumstance. God, I pray that we would be a praying church, that Element Church would be a church that prays, yes, in circumstances and events and patterns and times, but also in an ongoing way, that we would be a people that walk with you and talk with you. We fellowship with you in the cool of the day. God, we know you as one knows a friend, that we text and we talk and we walk together. And God, that we could feel as close to you peeling potatoes as we do kneeling at the altar. God, I pray that Element would be a church that's in love with the Bible. God, I pray that it would be a church, God, a full of people, God, that just can't wait to get into your word because it's a message from you to us. It's authoritative. It's inspired. And God, that as we peer into the Bible, we surrender to it. And God, the authoritative scripture, it begins to order and organize our lives. And God, I pray that we would be a people of the word, that we would be a people of the Bible, that we would be a people that read the scripture together and that we talk about it with one another and that it doesn't just depart out of our mouth, but we meditate on it and we process it. And God, it makes us like trees grown up on the shore, God, where we've tapped into the good water and we produce fruit in due season. And God, we're productive and we're prosperous and we're successful. And God, I thank you that we would be a community that is knitted together and that covenants with one another, that we would bring our gifts together, that we would bring what we have been given, God, whether it's our time, our talent, or our treasure, and we would covenant together with one another to be a body, a place, God, where you can dwell, and God, a place in this city where your Spirit can move forward and love those who do not yet know you. And then God, I pray that we would serve together. God, that we would be a people that cares about one another. And God, that we wouldn't just care just for Christians and we wouldn't just care for those who follow a red Jesus or a blue Jesus, but that we would care out of the reality that we follow a crucified Jesus, one that lays his life down for the sheep, one that pours himself out to serve. And then God, that we would remember that just like you came, God, in all 100% Godhead, but you were 100% a man, and that Jesus limited himself because he was a limited man. He didn't have unlimited energy and passion and strength and power, but as a man, he limited himself. And I pray a fresh revelation of the theology of limits over us, God, that we would steward well, God, that we'd prioritize well, God, that we would live within the limits and boundaries of what you've given us, and we wouldn't just white knuckle things forward, but that we'd focus and we would surrender. And God, we would use our checkbook and our date book and we would Sabbath and we would trust you, God, as we live a surrendered and a spirit empowered life. God, I thank you for that today, that we would be a church that's healthy and that we would be a church that does day 22 living and beyond, that these five things would become the swings of the axe that we're faithful with and that we are practiced with. And God, that at the end, God, that idea of spiritual awakening, that idea of that tree finally falling, God, that we'll see spiritual awakening here in our midst. We thank you for that today. And if you've never started a relationship with Jesus today and you want to do that, pray this with me. Say, God, thank you for Jesus. I surrender my life today. I need a Lord and Savior. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, change me, live in me, be authoritative in me. And God, I thank you for eternal life that I'll be with you forever and live forward. Come have every part and every piece. And thank you for your love for me. I'm a new creation today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, we love you. If you prayed that salvation prayer with us today, would you let us know? Would you text Element to 97,000? Let us know you prayed that prayer. There's a box on that form that says, I made a decision for Jesus today. Click that. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. And guys, I believe the Element Church is poised and positioned for her best season ever. And I'm so excited that these five things are going to sit at the base of who we are as a people. As I said, these five things today, one of those I believe is for you at least, maybe all five, but one of them at least is for you. So I would ask you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what one thing do you want to speak to me about today? And then would you take that conversation into the place of worship with him today? Let's worship together and let's engage conversation with the Holy Spirit. Let's worship.